Okay, so if you look in a slichot, it's the only tefillah that we do that stands out in the following way. Normally at the end of Shacharit, Mincha, Arvit, Musaf, on Shabbat and on Yom Tov, on Rosh Chodesh, even Ne'ilah on Yom Kippurim, we end after Chazarat Hashatz at some point, we say Kaddish Titkabal. It's a special Kaddish that only the Chazan says, right? And it adds in this special line of Titkabal Tzlotano Vautana Im Tzlotano Vautan Dochol Bet Yisrael. We ask Hashem to accept our Tfilot, which makes sense. We just finished the essential part of Tfilah, which is the Shmona Esrei, and the Chazarat Hashatz. So now we ask Hashem, now that we've said all of the Tfilot, please accept our Tfilot. It always follows a Shmona Esrei. Always. Shacharit, Mincha, Arvit, Musaf, Ne'ilah, always. It's the only time we say it. We never say it any other time, except for Slichot. Slichot is the only time that at the end of Slichot we say Kaddish Titkabal. And yet there's no Shmona Esrei before. On some level, then, Slichot takes on this idea, this notion of having an essential chelek of a complete tefillah, even while it's not. It's a little bit strange like that. If we ever said any other time we would get together to do a communal tehillim, we would never say Kaddish Titkabal. Slichot is a little bit different. And so Slichot starts off with a Kaddish, Chatzi Kaddish, and ends with Kaddish Titkabal. Now it starts off with Ashrei, the Poskim write, because you need something to introduce. We even say the Kamti Bashmoret, the two or three lines before. That's introductory piyut. And then Ashrei, because that's the introduction to another tefillah, the same that we do at Mincha. Mincha, the Ashrei at Mincha, is just an introduction. We should say something to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? We usually, when we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we start with praise, and then we move into the chelek of the bakasha, of the request. Now, all of Slichot is bakashot. It's asking Hashem for forgiveness. And so we start with Ashrei, which is more or less about praise. And then Chatzi Kaddish. Chatzi Kaddish says, we're about to start a new section of tefillah. It sort of sets us off Slichot to be something different. We do Chatzi Kaddish before also, before Mincha, before the essential part of Mincha, before the Shmona Esrei. Before Arvit, we do Chatzi Kaddish, before the Shmona Esrei. In Shacharit, you can't say Chatzi Kaddish before the Shmona Esrei because you have to connect the Bracha of Ga'al Yisrael to Shmona Esrei. So we say it before Baruch Hu, right? We always have a Chatzi Kaddish before to say this is going to be a set-aside essential part of Tfilah. So too with Slichot, we start off with Chatzi Kaddish to set it off as the essential part of Tfilah. So I just wanted to go through some of the piyutim that we say the same thing for 40 days. And so one of the beautiful things about that is that we can actually learn about them and understand them, and I think there's a deeper understanding to that. The Ashkenazim have a practice where every day they switch. They only say Slichot, they're going to say for a week before Rosh Hashanah, and every day they say something different. Their Slichot book is much fatter. And every day it's different, and so you're maybe less incentivized to try to figure out what each one means, because you either got it, you didn't get it, then tomorrow it's going to be something new.
Why is it 10 days and we're so...
So we do it from Rosh Chodesh Elul.
Because we're troublemakers, that's why?
I like to think not that we're troublemakers. We're doing it on their behalf because they don't realize how much help they need. So at least we step up to the plate to take it on. There's this idea from one of my Rabbi Rosenzweig pointed out. He says, you know, the tour, when he quotes this notion of Slichot, why are we saying it Rosh Chodesh Elul? What happened to Rosh Chodesh Elul? What does it have to do? Meaning, You could say Slichot, look, I got to do Slichot before Rosh Hashanah, before, it's really before Yom Kippur, because we go till Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. Because, you know, you got to prepare for Yom Kippur, so a little bit before, you got to do it. Why a month? That doesn't matter. You just get it in before. Or, just one moment, or you think, no. It's not just preparing for Yom Kippurim. It's actually something special about Elul. So, Rav Rosenzweig pointed out, I said, the Ashkenazi practice is, we need to prepare for Yom Kippurim. We need to prepare, so you need to do X number of days. And so they do Aseret Yemei Teshuvah between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, and they add in a little bit before, at least 4 days before. They have reasons why a minimum of 4 days. This year, because Rosh Hashanah comes out Sunday night, they have to do Slichot the whole week. So for them, that's a lot. I know. I feel bad for them. And they're just preparing. Whereas we say, no. Yes, you have to prepare. But there's something special about Elul. Elul is not just, it's not coincidentally the time before Rosh Hashanah Kippur, that's when you prepare. But the Torah writes, and based on the Seder Olam Rabbah, that on Rosh Chodesh Elul, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain the third time. He went up to the mountain the third time. These 40 days aren't random, it just happens to be 40 days. It's those 40 days in which Moshe Rabbeinu got kapara for Am Yisrael for the Chet HaEgel. these 40 days are the days of Slicha, Mechila, and Kapara, the original forgiveness. And so we say, no, we're going to do it these specific days, not because they happen to be before Rosh Hashanah, because they happen to be patterned after what Moshe Rabbeinu did during that time. So we focus on the time itself, Elul, as being intrinsically having something, there's an importance to doing it today. Whereas, as I explained for the Ashkenazim, they're doing it, it just happens to be those days before. So they have a similar amount of time to do it. Oh, okay, wonderful. So the first piyut that we say in Slichot Ben Adam Alecha Nirdam is introductory piyut. All the Sfaradim say the same. Basically, you only want one Slichot book. And then there you'll notice every so often there are piyutim that say, some say this, some say that, some say there's only four or five of them. But Ben Adam Alecha Nirdam is all based on psukim. Back in the day, all of the Slichot were just psukim. They didn't have all of these piyutim. Most of these piyutim, piyut is just a liturgical poem written by the Rishonim. Before that, after the time of the Gemara, during the time of the Geonim, who lived right after, they didn't have slichot. They didn't have, meaning they said something, but they didn't have the slichot that we do. Certainly not the Ashkenazi slichot, which were developed later. It was just psukim. They would say a collection of psukim that deal with slicha, mechila, and kapara. So much so that the next section that we'll do, they say, is actually very old. These are just collections of psukim or play on words of psukim, not even a full pasuk. It's a half of a pasuk and a half of a pasuk to get an idea. But the ones who composed it assumed that, okay, you know all the psukim. So if it's not obvious what it's referring to, it means because it assumes that you know the context, you know what the end of the pasuk should have been, you know what's going on, and therefore it goes together. So sometimes it's helpful to go through it. So if we just go through, so Ben Adam Malacha Nirdam, Kum Karel Betachanunim, Malacha Nirdam is, it's all based on psukim again, is what Hashem tells Yonah Navi. Well, not when Yonah Navi, not Hashem, the captains tell Yonah Navi, Yonah's on the boat, running away from Hashem, and there's a storm, okay, appropriate. And there's a storm, although he was in the midst of it, Baruch Hashem, we shouldn't be. And they all go up to pray, and they all go up to do their thing. And he stays in his room down below. He's sleeping. So the captain comes to him and says, what are you doing? Malach HaNirdam, get up. It's time to start praying. We're in distress. So we open with that line, which is somewhat fascinating, right? It assumes you know the context, that first of all, this is Yonah HaNavi, who's trying to escape from Hashem. And it's the captain telling him, not only just wake up, right? Malach HaNirdam, why are you crying? Why are you sleeping? Right? That would be clear. Okay, we say tzlichot in the morning or late at night. Why are you sleeping? But it's specifically there. Why are you sleeping? It's time to pray. Meaning, the fact that kum karab etachanunim is not the end of the pasuk. We add that in because that's what we want you to do. Get up and pray. But it's specifically that context. It's someone's urging him and saying, there's actual distress right now. You're pretending it doesn't exist, but it's really there. Right? Yonah Navi's not a fool. He knows that there's a storm outside, and he's a Navi. So he's well aware that what you do when there's stress is pray to Hashem. He's just pretending that it's not relevant. And so it's a wake-up call to say, hey, let's go. Something is happening, whether you realize it or not, Rosh Hashanah is coming, and you need to take that seriously. Shvach sicha derosh sicha me'adon adonim. Also based on psukim, but ask forgiveness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rechatzu tahar be'al ta'achar beterem yamim ponim. Rechatzu tahar means to become tahor. What does that mean to become tahor? It doesn't mean just to go to the mikveh, right? That's not, I don't think that's going to help. Okay, you went to, good, yeah. How is that going to help you in the tshuva? So many of the achronim point out, he says, you know, Yom Kippurim, and we'll talk about this when we talk about the Hilchot HaRambam later, is that Yom Kippurim accomplishes two things. It says, right, the pasuk that we say, after we say Vayavor, Nashem Hashem, on Yom Kippurim, after each time we say the pasuk in the Torah that refers to Yom Kippurim, Ki Vayom Azeh Yechaper Alechem Letaher Etchem Mikol Chatotechem, Lifnei Hashem Titaru. Right, so what does that mean? Ki Vayom Azeh, on this day, Yechaper Alechem, Hashem will atone, yechaper aleichem, on you, letaher etchem mikol chatotichem, to purify you from all of your averot, lifnei Hashem titaru, in front of Hashem, you should be purified. So it's a strange thing. Kapara, I understand. Yom HaKippurim comes from the language kapara. Kapara is forgiveness or atonement. And I understand that that's what Yom HaKippurim is accomplishing. Yom HaKippurim accomplishes atonement, right? You'll have to discuss. Atonement means there should have been a punishment, and we're able to lechaper, there's not going to be a punishment. We can dissociate the action from the punishment. So Rabbi Soloveitchik writes, yeah, but that doesn't change who you are as a person. The fact that you didn't get the punishment, you managed to ward off the punishment, doesn't mean that as a person I've improved in any significant way. I'm still the same person that I was before who did the Avera. Hopefully I won't do it again because I'm afraid of the punishment, but me as an individual, what about my neshama? What about me as a person? He says that's the element of titaru. There's an element of taharan Yom Kippurim where a person purifies himself to become a better person. So rechatsu tahar ve'al ta'achar. Not just get atonement, but really, really try to improve a person. Beterem yamim punim, before the days are numbered, because we're approaching Yom Adin. Yom Adin is Rosh Hashanah, the Day of Judgment. Umheira roots le'ezra lifnei shochen me'onim, and then run to help lifnei shochen me'onim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umipesha v'gamresha b'rach ufchad me'asonim, and you should run away from disaster. You know, there's an interesting Rambam. The Rambam writes, there's a Mishnah that says that, you know, on Yom Tov we say Hallel. Every Yom Tov we say Hallel. Hallel is joyous. Hallel references that today is unique, today is special, we're very grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, today is a happy day. So the Mishnah says, we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, even though they're also considered to be a Yom Tov. So why not? Why not? So the Mishnah continues, Efshar that Sifrei Chaim U'Metim P'tuchim Lefanav V'Atem Armim Shira, could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting there, whatever this means, with the books of life and books of death in front of him, and we're singing and praising and we're joyous. He's determining what's going to happen in the next year, either for good or for the bad. It's not an appropriate time to say Hallel. Okay, we understand that. You know, Rosh Hashanah is a complicated day because on the one hand, it is Yom Tov. On the other hand, it is Yom Adin. So is Yom Kippurim. Yom Kippurim on the one hand is Yom Tov. On the other hand, you're not allowed to eat. So how does that work? Maybe for another time, but essentially it's a Yom Adin. So the Rambam in his Perusha Mishnayot writes, when he's explaining to this, he elaborates the point, what Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be, and he has a fascinating way of describing Rosh Hashanah. He says, you know, you have to have a serious nature to it, you have to have an awareness of what's going on, that there's a din. There's a beautiful piyut that we don't say of the Sfaradim, but it's actually printed in the Sfaradim Machzor before Musaf, Unatan Etokef, the Ashkenazim say it in Musaf. We have it printed, we don't say it. But it describes in poetic detail what happens in Shamayim on Rosh Hashanah. U'malachim yechafezun v'chilu urada yochezun. The malachim themselves are shudder in awe of the you know, tremendous aspect of the day. And so the Rambam there writes, so what is he supposed to do? He says, Rosh Hashanah, yomim noraim, yomei adin, are supposed to be mivrach u'manos elav. He says, you're supposed to be running mivrach u'manos elav. Running to and from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a funny thing. Mivrach u'manos elav. You're like running away to him. You're running away. Meaning, we start off getting nervous. And so you cower in fear. But he says, ultimately, it's manos elav. Back to him, because you realize that, yes, although we may have let him down in the last year, and so we're somewhat embarrassed for that. And when you're embarrassed from someone, you're not going to go up and try to develop that relationship. You're going to try to, you know, take a step back and say, you know, when you're acting a little bit more meekly, but we realize that this is a different type of a relationship where it's only through connecting to him that we can actually have any salvation. That's what it means. So, roots le'Israel lifnei shochet me'onim, run back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ana she'eshim chayodei Yisrael ne'manim, we ask Hashem to listen to our tefillah. Lecha Hashem atzdaka v'lanu boshet ha'panim, based on the pasuk in Daniel. This is a pasuk in Daniel. Hashem, you are righteous and we are embarrassed. That's the first stage of tshuva, recognizing that we've done something wrong. Lecha Hashem atzdaka v'lanu boshet ha'panim is the essential recognition that something here went awry and that we need some help. The next paragraph, Amod kegever v'itgaber l'itvadot al chataim. You have to stand up. Not an easy thing to do. L'itvadot al chataim, to do vidui, to acknowledge the aveira. You know, in it's more popularized than, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous. But if you've ever been to a meeting or you've ever seen a movie about the meetings, the first thing that a person gets up, Gamblers Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, it's always the same thing. You get up, you say, hi, my name is David and I'm an alcoholic. It's not random. There's a chokhmah behind that because you're getting up and acknowledging, you're naming the problem. Right? When you can get up and name the problem, my name is David and I'm an alcoholic, I'm naming the problem, I'm owning that problem, I'm saying this is me, this is what I've done, and I now need to deal with it. It's the same thing with vidui. Dr. Abraham Tversky likes to show that the whole 12-step system is based on Musar and based on Hilchot Tshuvah. This is very parallel. He understands a lot better than I do, but this is very simple. The first step is to recognize that there was an Avira. Ya el drosh b'chov ed rosh l'chaper el pshayim, sikar Hashem, kilo olam lo ne'elam mimenu niflaim. Because there's never a problem where things are too far away from him. First of all, he knows. Ki le'olam lo ne'ilam mimenu nifla'im. So what does that mean? He's aware of what happened. He knows. So you can have the opposite reaction. If he knows, why do vidui? Right? I think so, right? He knows. So I think the challenge is, well, you know, we kind of pretend that if I don't acknowledge it and he doesn't acknowledge it, then there's no problem, right? If I don't admit I have a problem, so then there's no problem. Now, it's the same thing with a personal problem. Everyone around me realizes that I have a problem, but as long as I deny it, it's okay, right? This is one of the biggest challenges sometimes with addicts. You know, everyone around them realizes, hey, something here is wrong, but the person themselves can rationalize away what everything is going on. So yeah, we all know. But until that person takes ownership and recognizes and says, hey, I've done wrong, there's no hope for change, right? The fact that we all see what's going on isn't going to get that person to change until they take ownership. So you're right, he knows. He knows. So A, there's no reason to... You can't pretend it didn't happen, right? You can try to pretend it doesn't happen, but recognizing that everyone around you knows, he knows. In this case, he knows, and so there's nothing to hide from. V'chol ma'amar asher ya'amar lifanev nikraim, everything that's said, everything that happens, he knows. There's nothing to hide from. Ha'mar rachim yirachim aleinu k'rachim aval benim, and therefore we ask for rachamim, we ask that Hashem has mercy on us. And then back to Lecha Hashem atzdakah v'lanu boshet abanim, the pasuk from Daniel. Mani tunenu manu mar, mani daber mani tzadak. How can we justify ourselves? This is a pasuk. These are now the rest is all psukim. This is a pasuk when the brothers find when they come down to Mitzrayim for Yosef, and Yosef says to them, they don't know it's Yosef, and he's like, well, what's going on? Where's this other brother? And what's going on? He's trying to get them to see what happened, and they're at a loss. They're saying amongst themselves, what are we supposed to say? We have nothing to say. We're completely at fault. You know, it's a recognition that it's not his fault. It's not anyone else's fault. It's our. You know, if I have a problem, I need to deal with it and acknowledge that. And therefore, we commit ourselves to do tshuva. The next section is what we read. We read it interactively. The Chazan says the first half, and we say the second half. Often it's one pasuk, but sometimes it's multiple pasukim. The beginning is one pasuk, and the second half is a different pasuk, but along the same lines. And again, this is one of the older, they write, one of the very older slichot that we have. Because again, it's just psukim. It's one of the older slichot. So ki mincha pshuta lekabel shavim, Hashem is always yimincha pshuta lekabel shavim. Hashem's hand is extended to accept those who are doing tshuva. And in the ilah, we even say atano ten yad laposhim. Hashem sort of extends his hand. You know the mefarshim write that during the whole there's a mitzvah to do tshuva the whole year. There's a mitzvah to do tshuva the whole year. That's true. I did an avera. I need to do tshuva. The Rambam writes that Yom Kippur is ketz mechila uslicha. Yom Kippurim is the pinnacle of that. And the closer we get, there's more of a mitzvah to do tshuva. So what does that mean? So the Sifrei Chassidut explained it that, you know, every other day of the year, it's on me to try to do tshuva, and I have to try as much as I can. On Yom Kippurim, effectively, Hashem is extending his hand to you and saying, I'll help you out. I'll give you a boost. All you have to do is just say you want it. During the rest of the year, it's much harder. There's something different than the spiritual nature of the world. But during Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Teshuva, reaching Yom Kippurim, the Ilan, we only say it on the Ilan Yom Kippurim. It's only at that last moment where Hashem is effectively saying, Yimincha Pshuta. Just, it's okay. He wants us to do Teshuva. Berachamecha Rabim Banu Lefanecha, Kedalichim Uduchu Rashim, Tafaknu Dlatecha. Hashem, we're coming with Rachamim. Datecha Tafaknu Rachum Mechanun, Al Teshivenu Rekam Lefanecha, we're knocking on your door. Right, this is an imagery from Shir HaShirim, Kol Dodi Dofek. It's effectively we are knocking on the door. We want to be let in. We recognize that we're outside. Meaning it's a recognition of what is taking place here, that we recognize that we're not where we should be. And so D'latecha Dafaknu, that we're knocking on the door, recognizes that I'm standing on the outside and I don't even have access. I need to get in and then to have access. Milfanecha Malkenu Rekam Al Teshivenu Ki Ata Shomea Tefila. Hashem, don't listen. Let us in and answer our tefillot. The rest of this continues with the same psukim in back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So I'm just going to skip to the end of this section. The next paragraph is lemancha, which our practice is only to say during Aseret Yemei Teshuva. So we'll save that for another time. There's then another couple of psukim from Daniel. Yes.
Why did he have that additional
addition to those 10 days, but somehow we incorporate the 10 days into 40
days. Yeah. So the Aseret Yemei Tshuva is a more intense period of Tshuva. From Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur is the more intense period. So we add in, we recognize that.
But it's not random.
No, correct. It's not random at all. We recognize that they're more intense by adding in additional levels of additional piyutim in the Slichot. The next section is Shevet Yehuda Bedochag Ovetzar. That's the introduction to the essence of Slichot. The essence of Slichot is the Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim, Hashem Hashem El Rachum VeChanun, and the Vidui. This is the intro. Shevet Yehuda Bedochag Ovetzar means Am Yisrael is Bedochag Ovetzar. We're stuck in suffering and challenges. Ha'ishagar Yebayar. Also, it's based on Psukim, again, that we know the context. What's Ha'ishagar Yebayar? It's a reference to the Navi, who writes, he's trying to justify, Navi is trying to justify, how could he give a nevuah that's negative? People were upset, how could he give a nevuah that's negative? He says, like, it doesn't work that way. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me a nevuah, I don't have a choice but to say it. So he says, what? Could it be that Ha'ishagar Yebayar, could it be that a lion is calling out and nothing makes a difference? Meaning he knows that lions only roar when there is a problem. So he says the same way, when they've caught something, when something has happened, that's a natural reaction. So the Navi is saying this is a natural reaction. You get a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're there. Imi takas shofar, and the next line though is, Imi takas shofar be'ir, ve'am lo yecheradu. If there's a kol shofar, people hear a shofar, people get nervous. Ha'ishagar yebayar. Something is happening, there's going to be a natural reaction. Shevet Yehuda Bedochag Ovetzar, Ha'ishagar yebayar. There's something's happening, and we need to wake up and see it. We're anticipating your Yeshua, your salvation. What does Tshuva have to do with salvation? Yeshua means like the future salvation. The Psukim in Chumash a number of times connect the notion of Tshuva and the Geula, the ultimate Geula, the Gemara says, can only come when we do Tshuva. So we recognize that Tshuva works on multiple levels, and we'll pause in a moment. It's not just on a personal level that I want to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also on a communal Am Yisrael level, that on some, you know, at some realm, that when we do Tshuva, that brings the Geula. And without that level of Tshuva, then the Geula cannot come. So Bezrat Hashem, maybe we'll continue, because I think it's worthwhile to spend time to understand what we're saying, particularly because we say it every day. And I think through understanding it, we can increase our Kavanah during Slichot. Okay.